Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the conference on results for the third quarter of 2017 for the Grupo Nutresa. Thank you for your interest. At the table, we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of the Grupo Nutresa, Jose Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Catherine Chacon, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation that will be made by the President and the Vice President of Corporate Finance about the results of the third quarter, we'll start the Q&A session. The questions received through the webcast will be read as they are written. Those who are connected to the conference in English over the phone, please send your questions using the chat option of the webcast. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by default they are in English, you can download them from the webcast screen. Thank you, those who ask questions for webcast and the audio, to tell your name and the institution you represent. I leave with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for being with us in this conference to publish the results for the close of the third quarter 2017. To start, I'll ask you to go to slide number 2, where we share some news of interest. In the first place, I want to tell you that Grupo Nutresa started for the 7th consecutive year as part of the Global Sustainability Index. We are outstanding in all the sustainability dimensions, and the economic had the highest score in the sector in the environmental dimension, materiality, tax management, risk and crisis management. In environmental, we had the best reporting, environmental reporting and packaging. And in the social dimension, we were outstanding due to its human rights processes. In addition, I want to tell you that we went into the new sustainability index of the region, the Dow's Rogers Media Pacific Alliance Index, that wants to measure the performance of the companies in the integrated Latin American market in corporate sustainability. This is a recognition to the leadership of the region companies. On the left, lower part of the page, you can see the recognition AAA. In this, the Stock Exchange in Colombia promotes, among the local issues, the option of best practices in terms of disclosure and investor relations. Grupo Nutresa has been selected as the leader in the categories evaluated in the renewal of this IA 2017 stamp or seal. Those are the three, which are the issues with the highest content standards, the issues with the highest standards for corporate governance, and issues with the highest evolution in these three aspects. Grupo Nutresa held the first place. And to complete other interesting affairs, in this case, Grupo Nutresa was included in the top 50 of the Change the World list of the Fortune magazine because of the contribution to the social development through activities which are part of its business strategy. This analyzes the role of the companies. In the case, it's a group of companies that have sales over $1 billion in an evaluation that they do have carried out a share value initiative. It's a platform that measures globally organizations that are looking for business solutions for social challenges. And Professor Michael Porter from the Harvard Business School, this ranking looks at the social impact, business results, and the degree of innovation in each company, and it's the first time that a Colombian company is part of this list, which is in its third edition. And to complete the news of interest, I want to tell you that Melco, the monitor of corporate reputation, released this year the results for its polls, and Grupo Nutresa was once again as the second company with the best reputation in the country and the first one in the food and beverage area, and we're pleased to share this with you. Let's go to slide number 3, where I will tell you about the sales in Colombia and outside of Colombia during the third quarter of 2017. In Colombia, during this quarter, third quarter of the year, sales were 1,395,900 million pesos, with a growth of 1.7%. This growth is derived from a combination of an increase in volume by 1.1% and an increase in price of 1.9%. This decrease in volume is true, but if you compare to the figures we showed in the previous quarter, we are decreasing less. There's some recovery of volumes. Price increases shows what we told you about, that we would be managing very carefully the prices to protect these volumes, and it is something that we have been achieving. With respect to the business, you can see in that same slide how the dynamic behaved. We had in the cold cuts, we had a decrease in sales of 1.1%. We had in chocolate a decrease also of 1.1%, and in ice cream, 1.8% decrease. I want to tell you specifically about the ice cream. Well, unfortunately, during the third quarter, we had a very rainy season, and that's why this behavior takes place. In chocolates, during the same quarter in the previous year, we had done some price increases, which had moved the extraordinary volumes, so the comparisons has 2016 without price increase into 2017 with the price increases, in which especially some channels were supplied or stocked up, and that's why we see a decrease. But the categories in general are doing pretty well. We have an increase of 0.5%, and we will tell you that voluntarily we decided to decrease our commercial activities in the sub-products and some flours, and that is why we have a growth of 0.5%. All the biscuits, if we exclude that effect, we would have an increase of 4.1%. We believe that according to the dynamics of consumption in Colombia, this is a good quarter, and we believe that in the future we'll continue to have this recovery. We'll see some additional details with respect to the accumulated for the year. With respect to international sales, we had sales for $281.1 million with a very significant growth of 6.4%. This in pesos is 136,400 million with an increase of 7.3%. As you can see, there is a significant growth in practically all the businesses in TMLook, where you see 0.5% decrease. We have some quasi devaluations at play here. If with the exception of the TMLook, in the quarter we had significant growth in Mexico, moderate in Chile, but there is growth, and there's some decreases from the exports that we do from Chile. The combination for is -0.5%, but we have a very good business. We have good profits for the quarter. In general, the quarter for the international business, both in foreign platforms and export from Colombia, the results are good. We have very important significant exports in Colombia, grew 26% over the same period the previous year in dollars. This is done extremely well and is contributing a lot to the development of the international business. If we go to slide number four, we see that by combining these sales inside and outside of Colombia, we reached a quarter sales of $2,231,300,000,000 with a growth of 3.7%. All the businesses grew except ice cream, that, as I said, was somewhat affected by the rain in the quarter. We have very significant growths in the case of coffees and retail food. Innovation sales were during the quarter 21.8%, which is very significant. But I would say, as a summary for the quarter, these are very good figures, good growth, and we are leveraging a lot on innovation and the growth of markets outside of Colombia. In going to slide number five, we can see accumulated sales in Colombia and outside of Colombia. At the end of the month of September, sales in Colombia were 4,046,000,000,000, with a growth of 3.1%. You have biscuits, chocolates, coffee, retail foods, and pastas grew, and only ice cream has a decrease, and cold cuts is practically at the same level. In the case of biscuits, which we show a growth of 4.1%, if we isolate the issue of raw products and flours, grew at 7.4%, which is derived from a 3.2 growth in volume and prices 4.1, so the biscuit business is doing very well. That growth of 3.1% growth in Colombia comes from a 5.6% price increase and a decrease in volume of 2.8. If we were to eliminate the subproducts, the decrease in volumes would be only 1.4 and the price increase of 5. With respect to ice cream, in this accumulated, we have minus 5.4. I have to remind you that the first and the third quarters, we had very negative climatic conditions. With respect to sales side of Colombia, in this accumulated totals, we had significant growth of $397.7 million, with a growth of 5.8%. Sales of 787% with a growth of 5.8, which are the equivalent of 2,345,400,000,000 Colombian pesos, with a growth of 1.6%. In this case, it's less growth because the revaluation for the period is 4.1%. But it is an activity where here in the accumulated, all the businesses outside of Colombia grew in dollars. I want to remind you that in this comparison, we're excluding the figures from Venezuela because the previous year, before we closed the third quarter, was when we decided to account Venezuela as a financial instrument. That comparison from here on in, we will not have to mention that issue of Venezuela. So combining sales inside and outside of Colombia, we have accumulated at the end of the quarter to sales of 6,391,400,000,000 with a growth of 2.6. If we were to include Venezuela, we would decrease 0.4. I want to remind you that in the previous quarter, that 2.6 is only 2. That's, we have been improving performance, the business performance, and if we were to include Venezuela, minus 0.4, in the previous report was minus 1.1. So in the accumulated, we see that ice cream decreases. We already mentioned why. And in TM look, basically we are at that point, minus 0.3, because of things that have to do with that lower performance of the exports from Chile. This is mainly due to the cost rate of exchange. We think that is a very good business performance, as we expected. Innovation sales at the close of this third quarter were 20.6%. Please go to slide number 7, where we can see in the accumulated how the distribution of sales by region looks like. Sales by region were 73.3% in Colombia and 36.7% in markets outside of Colombia. And during the period, there is some increase in the participation of sales outside of Colombia. The first geography is Colombia, where, as I said, we have 63.3. The second geography in sales is Central America, we have 9.4. And the third one is the U.S., where we have 8.4. And Chile is the fourth geography, where we have 8.1% of sales. with respect to market share that we can see in slide number eight. And I want to remind you about something that I mentioned in the previous meeting with investors, and we see this share as a strength that allows us to, when we have some pressure on profits, we can make some price decisions with minor effects on the sale volumes and on the shares. In the previous report, we showed you a decrease in 1.1% share compared to the previous year. In this one, the decrease is 1.4%. There's also some improvement. And in general, I could say that there's some mixed behaviors, and in some cases positive. For example, for chocolate, confectionery, table chocolate, hot chocolates. We have TM look in coffee, and some decreases in cold cuts and biscuits and pastas. But we are part of, are within what we expected. And as I mentioned, these are sacrifices that you make at this specific point in time. But with the effort, we hope to recover. And these are not at all significant. With respect to raw materials, as you can see in slide number 9, we have relatively stable behavior in general in the commodities index. If you go into details, we have some increases compared to the previous years in the sources of animal protein, pork, beef, and chicken. And in coffee, we have stability in wheat and some decreases in cocoa. The most significant cost element is packing material, 14.5%. And in raw materials, it's coffee. We have relative stability, and we're using all the methods available to manage this risk and control this volatility by combining operations that have to do with hedging physical inventories. In this case, when the financing conditions and raw material costs make it worthwhile, but we have a very good management of this risk. Now, I will give the floor to Jose Domingo Penagos so he can talk about the report on profitability. Thank you, Carlos. Good morning. Please, let's go to slide 10 to look at the EBITDA for this last quarter. Before going to the figures in detail, some general comments about context. In the first place, a very good behavior of costs, although we have pressures in some raw materials, especially beef proteins and some honey and coffee, the cost behavior is in general very good and are the good result of our good hedging policies. This will give us some advantages. We'll see on the gross margins. The second one is significant control about expenses, especially administrative expenses and production expenses. You'll see in the various spaces, there's some decrease, and some decrease significantly. In sales expense, would be my last comment to give you some context, there have been increases, but what we're doing here is using that investment in the market to do creating an organization such as ours to invest in the market. Now, let's go to the numbers. You can see the EBITDA for the quarter is 12.2%. It's higher than the same period the previous year, and it grew 3.8%. A good margin, growing, and this is the general result. And by business, starting with the cold cuts, we have a margin below the range. We have some significant pressures, as I said, in the general context by raw materials, proteins, especially beef. So this shows that the business has some significant cost pressures, and we can decrease the fixed expenses somewhat less. So the fixed expenses are a little higher than the range for the entire group. We have 13.4% in Nabisco. We have 4.4% very good management of raw materials, as a good cost balance. We had a very important balance between local operations and international operations. So it's a very good result in terms of profit margins and a very good balance, a very sound balance in our biscuit business. Chocolates are above the range. It's a good margin. It's sold by practically 15%, 14.9%. Very good dynamics. Raw materials are helping the business, in addition to all the work that I had in modifying their profitability structure. Good margin, good growth in the chocolate business. TM Look, very significant margin, 13%. A very important growth of 46%. Also, we had a very good complex quarter last year, but what you could say about the profit of TM Look, it's a very good result, and especially it's sustained. It's been improving, and it's we've been holding the profit level that for TM Look. In coffee, we have the effect of raw materials, especially the effect of the growth in local raw material on the profit structure. It's in the range, but in the lower part. It's 12% of the EBITDA margin that we have for the quarter. Retail food, we continue with the strategy of protecting ourselves. We have a combination here of a local business, which is El Corral, and some ice cream shops in Central America and the Dominican Republic. Especially in Central America, the weather has affected revenue and profits. And this is seen in the profit for consolidated profits for the retail food sector. In ice cream, we still have the issue of rains. Carlos Ignacio mentioned it in the business section. We have strong rains in the first and third quarter with a significant effect on our revenue, and that is immediately reflected in the profitability, a bit the margin of 10.5%. With a significant decrease compared to the same quarter the previous year. And lastly, pasta, the profitability is affected by higher marketing expenses. We're investing right now. That's why we have a 7.9% EBITDA margin. So this is the general framework for the quarter. There's a detail in the previous quarters for this. And in the accumulated, in slide number one, I'll make some more general comments. First of all, point out the EBITDA is 800,000 million pesos, an increase of 3%, and with a margin which is higher than the quarter, 12.5%. A good margin, good growth, sustained. We've been improving constantly in each quarter, and this is reflected in the accumulated figures here. All businesses except ice cream and pasta are within the range, and we have chocolate, which is above the range that we have set for the whole group. These are good general results. Some general comments by business. The accumulated EBITDA includes several of the items that we mentioned in the quarter. This is a consolidation of the trends more than a change, and it is reflected in the accumulated figures. Biscuit, chocolates, and TM Look, very good growth, growing in size, significant expense controls. The cold cuts and the ice cream are affected by what we already mentioned during the quarter. And retail food, again, the issue of protecting the transactions in this quarter and the previous quarters is reflected in its profitability. Coffee, the higher cost of raw material in the local market, has a significant impact, but in the accumulated figures are also noticed. and gives us a margin of 13.4%, which is in the upper part of the range. In summary, the profit level of 11.5%, 12.5%, is very, very significant, very positive. This is our main geography in Colombia. So in details, in the operation for the EBITDA. Let's look in slide number 12, the statement of results for 2017. This shows an increase in 0.8% in revenue. By excluding Venezuela, the comparability with Venezuela, the growth is 3.7%. But I would say that most significant is the issue of cost. There are some indications in the previous slide, but you can see the expansion of gross margin 240 base points. So is the most significant part of this PNG profit and loss. The effects of raw materials, the good behavior, also our coverage policies, 241 basic points in this respect during the period. Also, what I mentioned earlier, in the initial part of the context, we can see that in figures, administration production expenses decreased by 2.4 and 7.1% respectively. It's a very good expense control to manage these effects of the volumes, and some selling expenses, which we see growing at 10%. This is our leverage for investing in the market, what we believe that we have to do in this organization, provided the final profit equation reflects it, and that's what we think is happening with the final profit equation for the company. This allows us to make these investments in the market. We had 273,000 million pesos, a margin of 4.18, with an expansion of 20 basic points over the previous year, which was already mentioned during the reports published during the weekend. This is in the upper part of the P&L. Operating cost, the decrease in financial cost. We have a slide talking about the debt. I'll talk about costs in more detail later. And the previous conferences really mentioned a very proactive activity in negotiation and improving this debt level, and also decreasing the rates of reference that has that the central bank has been decreasing. The difference in rate of exchange, we have the effects of our hedging policies in the foreign exchange position and in the income tax, both the current and the deferred components have an increase of 9.4%. This is very much aligned with the growth in the profits before taxes. Finally, we will give the market some net results of 81,579 million pesos with a growth of 8% compared to the same quarter the previous year. Good results in terms of the P&L for the quarter, with good growth in most of the areas, especially in profits. In slide number 13, we have the statement of related state of the results. Well, I'll be more general in my comments. I would point out the expansion of the gross margin at 241 base points. We have 150 basic points in the expansion gross margin as a result of what I've already told you about. But we've also see this accumulated effect. We also see this effect of administration and production expense control, sales expenses, and the difference in rate of exchange. We have a positive effect, and the effect of the working capital accounts allows us to show the EBITDA that we have of 820,000 million pesos with a margin. In financial expenses, very controlled, growth of 0.5%. So during the quarter, we saw a slight decrease of 16%, but very controlled our financial expenses. On dividends, we had the revenue for our main investments, such as Suda and Argos, are reflected in this first quarter. And we have the full figure here. Difference of rate of exchange, the effect of our exchange hedge policy is reflected here. This allows us to have some net profits of 324 thousand million pesos with a growth of 3.6%. A statement of results, which is, we believe, for the market conditions, which is very good results, accumulated results. And finally, slide number 14 talks about debt. We have 2,892 Colombian pesos with an indicator of net debt of 2.81 times. The indicator here, you could say that is very controlled and with a downward trend. This is the result that we had in June the same year, with some financial expenses that are being reduced. This is going to cost us 7.37%. In December last year, we had 9.5, and even in the third quarter of the previous year was 9.92, almost 10%. Proactive negotiation of these rates, as well as the decrease in the rates of reference, shows good reduction in the debt level, and we have a variable structure. Most 75-80% of our debt structure is variable, and this allows us to reap these benefits from the market to have lower costs. And finally, in this section, we'll have the CapEx. We spoke about 200,000 million pesos for this year as capital expenses, 134,000 million pesos, and because of the mechanics that all these investments in require, we will be using what we expect. We have a strong CapEx discipline and allows us to manage the return issue, a good mark, because our idea is to get our return goals for the future. This is the end of our section of profits and debt, and I'll give you the floor to Carlos Ignacio for him to tell us about the outlook for the rest of the year and for 2018. Thank you, Jose Domingo. So I'm going to talk about the outlook not only for the quarter that we have to go in the year, but rather what I'm going to say also includes the first quarter of next year. We foresee that we will have a gradual recovery of consumption in Colombia. It's been taking place perhaps slower than most market actors expected, but it's taking place. We believe that it is going to continue on into the future. We see a moderate inflation very close to the desired ranges, the ranges that the central bank in Colombia wants. And in Colombia, the rate of exchange very close to 3,000 pesos with some volatility. We also forecast moderate interest rates. I have to say moderate because they've been decreasing significantly, as Jose Domingo mentioned. In respect to the commercial side, we believe that we'll continue with sound international growth. As you can see, we have told you about where Grupo Nutres is growing. I think the next year is going to be a good year for Central America, which is the second geography, with growth of which is going to be very significant. We're going to be hopeful with Chile and our presence in the U.S. So we're going to continue with sound international growth and a stable behavior of our commodities, where the type of management we're doing for this volatility risk allows us to, using hedging and physical inventories and businesses where we cover some price ranges for these commodities, this will allow us to have to finish this year within the desired range and start well 2018 on a good footing. This is what we have to go in. I'll give you the floor, Kathleen, so that you can start our Q&A. Thank you. Carlos Ignacio will now start our question and answer session. A reminder, we have the chat option in the webcast to receive your comments and questions, which we will be reading as they are written. I will read two questions that we have through our webcast from Lauren Gary from Altieri And it's according to the opportunities that you see, where will the cash flows go in the future between decreasing the debt, inorganic growth, CapEx, or dividends? And the second question is for the CapEx and the M&A, where do you see more opportunities between divisions and countries? First of all, thank you for your question. And let me answer, well, with respect to CapEx first, we've been doing within the plans to improve returns on investment, we have been managing these CapEx very carefully. We're going to have a very lower level at the end of this year, very much lower than the previous 5 years. And we can continue to go with moderate CapEx levels for the next year. We don't think that we have major investments in CapEx. We're going to continue working on projects with innovation and productivity that will provide some returns. And in CapEx, we don't see any need for the flows that we will be releasing in the future. With respect to the dividends, our shares have adequate yields compared to similar actors in the market in Colombia. So we are always concerned that the investor will have a good return combining the appreciation and the dividends. And we believe that our yield level is appropriate, and we don't forecast any extraordinary outflow of our revenue. So the flows that we have with it to decrease in debt and inorganic growth, and we're going to be using it for both. And when you decrease your growth, what you also do is increase your buying power so you can do more expenses, and you can continue on that growth of profitable growth that we declare as an objective in Grupo Nutresa. With respect to the CapEx and the M&A, the final question, I would say that CapEx, we're going to be using that only for any innovations that can be reflected in the statement of results, and we're going to do that also in productivity, in projects to increase our productivity and competitiveness. With respect to the M&A, we've declared some strategic region. We're going to be focusing on that region mainly. We've mentioned that we have the Andean community, we have Chile, Central America, and the Caribbean, some U.S. markets. And we're also interested on health and nutrition for the M&A, which is a constant area of development for Grupo Nutresa, where we have decided to assign the people and the economic resources needed to continue growing. That is my answer. Perfect. We're going to continue with a question from Lucas Idicin from Goldman Sachs, who asks, can you please comment? Yes, gladly. Grupo Nutresa has some very significant positions in the categories where we act in Colombia. In our company, we have developed all the price, demand, elasticity models for each category. And we must say that those elasticities are different for each category, for each SKU, and each channel, and each geography. So what we've done in 2016 has been mainly to apply these methodologies to do the price increases that would allow us to maintain adequate profits with the least effect on volume. So what we have now is a transition plan, well thought out, that we decided to touch prices last year. We've moved that very little this year. And they're going to be producing some temporary effects on share, which is what we're looking at here. In Colombia, there's the free competition. This is a market where we have competitors in every category. As in the rest of the world, there is a transformation of the channels. And what we're doing is acting, as José Domingo was mentioning in his presentation, we're investing in the market. We are being very aggressive in the commercial area, because the idea is to have profitable growth, not either or. No, we want to grow and to have an EBITDA and a return on investment that are appropriate, and that's where we're going through the situation. But as I mentioned, we expect to reverse in the future without sacrificing much in terms of share. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We have a question from Leonardo from LP. What space in new businesses or markets do you foresee for TM Look? And the next question is, what was the impact of the labeling regulations in Chile for this? Well, Desmonte Duquette is a very important platform for the Grupo Nutresa in the south. When Grupo Nutresa came to Tres Montes, we were thinking, obviously, in Chile, but also in the rest of the markets to which you can access from Chile, because it is a country, it's one of the countries with the best free trade agreements in the region. Tres Montes Lucchetti, there's a lot of categories. We participate in powdered drinks, we have in pasta, in soluble coffee, in vegetable pasta, in soups and prepare and desserts and gelatins. But it's a geography where we can still include all the categories, and we will do so gradually when it is strategically appropriate. As I said earlier, in health and nutrition as an opportunity for Grupo Nutresa in Chile, it is also. So we see Tres Montes a significant arm of Grupo Nutresa in the region, and we're going to be continuing very active and continue to launch and innovate from Chile. With respect to the labeling regulation, I'd like to start with a statement which is broader, not only from Tres Montes, but also for Grupo Nutresa. When we've spoken about risk management in Grupo Nutresa, we said that there are three major risks. The first one is a commodity volatility. The second one has to do with the changes in regulations, especially those that have to do with health and nutrition. And the third one has to do with the turbulence of the environment, not only competitive but also channels. And the issue of labeling fits perfectly well in the second risk category. I believe that these norms will continue to change in the region. In the case of Chile, there were some difficulties, especially with respect to managing inventories. That difficulty was not only for Tres Montes. Remember that this is a country where major supermarkets have a very significant percentage of sales, and the issue of coding with the packaging, inventory management, pose very major challenges. And perhaps specifically, while the transition took place, we had to eliminate some packaging materials or some products at higher levels than we had traditionally included. The consumer is also going through a transition to understand and to interpret these new packages. But I think that we are at that phase. It's a change that it was not only for Tres Montes. It happened to the entire market, and we try to do it the best way possible. We believe that managing those risks that have to do with health and nutrition are part of our responsibilities of our business in the entire world. We try to learn, to improve. We have our own research center to improve. And I think that we went through that very well. I think that TM Look did it better than many of our peers, and we want to do it better every day. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Now we'll have any questions through the audio, and we'll come back with additional questions asked through the webcast. Thank you for attention. Now we'll start the Q&A. If you have any questions, please press star 1 in your phone. If you're using the speaker, please pick up your headset before you push these buttons. If you have any questions, press star and 1. Mr. Andres Tutu from Santander, thank you for your opportunity. My question has to do with prices in Colombia. Carlos Ignacio mentioned that this price variable hasn't been touched mostly in most categories. And at the same time, what we see is that the profit level is under pressure below the middle of the target range. How do you see the environment, both in terms of improved consumption and in competition to start in the fourth quarter 2017 or the first in 2018 to start price increases again? Thank you, Andres, for your presence in the conference and for your participation. I'll talk about how we see the environment, which is your comment. Basically, there are three ways to look at this. We have, according to have figures in Grupo Nutresa, as I mentioned it in the first part of the conference, we see gradual recovery with some decreases in volume, but less decrease than before. And that is the first source of information. There are two measurements of interest. One is the consumer confidence index, where we look at an opinion or a predisposition to spend. In Colombia, it will continue negatively in Colombia, but is less negative than at the beginning of the year. People are still somewhat pessimistic, but less so than in earlier, because we also see some recovery. And the other indicator calculated by independent third parties, which was called RADAR, which is uses a survey to measure household spending and financial services. And that indicator has shown positive values over the last 3 months. If you combine these three, what I believe we have is a gradual recovery, perhaps less than we all want, but it's taking place. Second, about the profitability, it is true that the EBITDA or the EBIT is below our middle of the range, but it's higher than the previous year. Even the quarter we had profits higher than the same quarter in 2016. We have some sound categories with the commodity situation that allows us to be very profitable. There are others that are more challenged, and what we're going to be doing on our part is to continue to be very prudent, very wise in managing prices. I'm not going to say that we're not going to increase, but we're going to be extremely careful so that when we do that, our volumes are as have as little effect as possible. Our strategy is going to continue to produce our to protect our transactions. You saw that during the last quarter we had some interesting rates of growth, and as long as the profits, we need to have a basket of categories that we can manage that. We saw that we have some that are above the average that. In the range, so you can manage that portfolio of categories, always looking for an appropriate return. So to summarize, what we see is a gradual recovery of consumption in Colombia and a very prudent price management. There will be some categories where we will be touching prices, but we're going to be extremely careful to have the least effect on the volume. Thank you, Andres. Thank you, Carlos. And the question would be, is that care in prices is because we still perceive that it is going to be a weak consumption or because of the pressure of the competition? It's both, because actually, if we're just going through this recovery, any major increases in prices will lead to contractions in the category, and the consumer is free and they can move from categories. There are foods that are not only compete with their category but with substitutes, and what we want to do is for them not to move to others that they can consider that they have a better price value ratio. Thank you for your answer. Sergio Matijimoto from CETI. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio, Domingo, and Catherine. So, about the EBITDA margins for the group for next year, with the trends of the commodities being stable and also type of exchange, could there be bigger growth in your margin with positive sales in Colombia? Yes, Sergio, I would talk about the trend. We're very careful with this. We're improving our EBITDA margins, and we think that that trend should hold until 2018. Giving exact numbers is not very wise, but we think that the trend will improve. My second question is about the sales expenses that increase more than the sales. Can you give us some examples of the specific activities that you carried out for this market investment, and this percentage of sales for expenses, is that a new level, or could that be lower in the following quarters? The first thing I would say about the sales expenses is looking at it grows at 6.90%, although it does not align with the growth of sales. It's a little higher than inflation. It has inflation plus some points. So we believe that this is a control expense, obviously, compared to levels, with decreases by 4.4, but basically it's all control. And what I can tell you is all the investments that are made in the brands, the categories, the market, as you can see, we had some campaigns, advertising campaigns in retail food, which we hadn't done in the past, with respect to all the expenses that are going to support the brands, so that the brands can be very well supported. Right, well, everything has to do with market investment in the market. Thank you. We have Mr. Felipe Otto from Scotiabank. Thank you for your opportunity. I'm sorry, his audio is not good. It's chopped up. When you itemize the expenses, Felipe, I'm sorry, but the question was very chopped up. Please, can you write it through the chat, and meanwhile, we'll answer somebody else's, and because we could understand the question. Jairo Willow from Bancolombia. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one has to do with the cost of raw material. Give me a little idea of what you see, especially the beef during the call and even the previous quarters. You have told us that there has been some structural changes. How do you see the impact of this raw material vis-a-vis 2018, because it's one of the factors that has put a pressure on the cold cuts. And the second question is about retail food. we have two impacts. First was the protein, which can affect the results of record at other restaurants. But we also have the issue of environmental and the environment. Could you tell us a little bit about which had the biggest impact on the profits of the business during the quarter, or what the behavior of these commodities has been that in Colombia, to see which had the biggest impact in, during the quarter. Thank you. Thank you, Jairo. I'll be very glad to take your two questions. First, about the behavior of beef in Colombia. The first thing is that when you go deeply into this topic of cattle raising in Colombia, you have to recognize that there are some cycles and there are recurrent, so every few years in Colombia there's some decrease in the size of the herds. And apparently we're going through one of those cycles where there is less availability of cattle on the foot, on the hoof, and we haven't been recovered that level yet. Second, if you look at the opening new markets for Colombia, because we exceeded that, or we overcame that crisis that we had with the aftos fever, and those markets are open again. You have to say that there was, I don't think it's permanent, and I don't think there will be a disappearance of an additional source of resources for the cattle, which are exports of red meat or cattle on the hoof, and that creates some pressures to increase prices in the local market. The prices of beef have been high but stable. When I say high, it's not higher than in the rest of the world. I think it's that traditionally in Colombia, we had some prices that were below international averages. That the appearance of these export markets for the Grupo Nutrisa is a threat and an opportunity. Why an opportunity? Because you can see that when we said how much the sales, export sales, international sales of the cold cut business, we're also exporting cold cuts. So this is added to what we are doing in Panama with the company that we have in Panama for cold cuts. So what I would say that right now we are going through a low availability cycle in Colombia. Those cycles are usually reversed. Colombia as a country has a major opportunity to increase the size of the herds and make it productively. We have a lot of land. We have to increase the productivity in the so that this can be done better. And we are highly active. We had integrated vertically with some slaughterhouses that has operated very well and allows us to be allies of the cattle growers in some regions to have the supply we need for our retail food business and for the cold cuts. What do we believe for the beef supply in the future? I think that the price is going to be relatively stable at levels somewhat similar to what we have today. We don't think it's going to go down too much or go up too much, and we will be acting hand-in-hand with the cattle growers trying to improve productivity to handle that variable. It's something that we have to do for beef, and similar to what historically we've done for pork, which we saw earlier. We didn't have any presence, and finally we became more active, and this variable is being managed. That's for beef. With respect to retail foods, this is a combination of the ice cream shops in the Caribbean, what we did in South America with Pops, and what we do with the restaurants that we bought around El Corral in Colombia. the business in Caribbean was good quarters, and the issue of the hurricanes affected us very little, and we had very good growth in sales and in profits. As also Domingo said, we had in Central America a rainier period than usual, and led to profits and sales lower than the historic averages. And in Colombia, we had very good sales in their main brands, in the stronger brands of our restaurants. And we had some pressures, as you mentioned, Jairo, in raw materials. So when you look at the profits, yes, it is true that there are two impacts, one from raw materials and another one from the profits of ice cream in Central America. And there are some variables in restaurants in Colombia that have to do with inflation. Inflation last year was very high. It might have affected our increases in labor and in some leases, but it's something that, as I mentioned earlier, with lower inflation, it will look different in next periods. I think that can give you a little more idea, a better idea about retail food, where we want to continue growing profitably. But our priority in restaurants is to not to decrease the number of transactions. Thank you. Let me ask Felipe's question, because we couldn't catch it on the audio. And I read, when I look at my expenses, it seems to me that in addition to the commercial efforts, we have benefits to employees, transportation, and leases that usually when they go up, do not go down again. I imagine that the main reason for those increases is last year's inflation. And also, do you believe that these expenses can be reduced, or do we have to wait for the sales growth to dilute them again? There's a second question about retail foods. In retail foods, we see that the sales grew significantly, and although the margin has not recovered, it seems to be that there is some inkling of a recovery. Could you give us a little more information about it? Let me take the first one. Carlos Ignacio, at the end of his last answer, spoke about it. There is an impact from last year's inflation. We had almost twice as much inflation, and part of that increase in the decrease in revenue is due to that increased inflation. But those increases in expenses and that increase, that fixed part, that fixed structure needs the volumes to grow to be diluted. But we are going to continue working on all productivity center on these expenses. But the premise that I was telling you earlier, this is a significant time in the market. It's important to invest in our categories and our brands, but the mathematical effect of the new inflation will improve this item in the future. With respect to retail food, I already mentioned something in the previous question, but let me rephrase the question to tell you. I was telling you that in the Caribbean we had very good quarter, significant, highlighted growth, very good profits, and practically no effects from the hurricanes in this region. That was good. I also mentioned sales and profit dynamic, which are lower than the historic averages in Central America because of higher rains than usual. We have a very good growth in our major brands, which I attribute to the strategy we've been using, managing the accessibility by creating some entrance levels so the consumer can go and try the products and have different scales of value proposals or value propositions for the consumer. We increased our communication activities, trying to get the consumer to understand all the options that they have using media that we hadn't used before in these companies. And lastly, we work a lot on new ways to reach the consumer, the more aggressive delivery and digital strategy. And the combination of this shows you the figures that you saw have a good performance vis-a-vis the previous quarters. So what we've done has been to privilege the reaching the consumer, being, as I said, very careful with prices and even designing as a highway to reach different levels so the consumer always has some alternative in the restaurants. That is a summary of what we've done in retail foods. Thank you very much. Silvia, let's continue with the questions through the audio, please. Mr. Rodrigo Torres from Valora Inversiones. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the chance. I have two questions to ask. Can you tell me the investment plan in this year? How is the implementation and what is the projection of that investment plan for the 2018? And the second issue is I want to know what the group is like in terms of products being offered in our discount chains, which is the Uno and Justo y Bueno in Colombia. How is the group participating in those markets that are taking share from major distributors such as large areas such as Exito and Jumbo in the Colombian market? Thank you. About the investment plan, we have a budget of 200,000 million pesos, Colombian pesos, which at the end of the quarter we've had 134,000 of the 200,000 million. As Carlos Ignacio mentioned, we've been using a significant CapEx discipline, which will start this year, we started this year, and we share the budget of the year in the first conference of this year, and we'll do it for next year too. But I can tell you some preview. That issue of CapEx discipline is not only for 2017. In the future years, we can continue with this CapEx discipline, and it will be a very, very careful investment. And the figure, exact figure, will tell you the next year, but we continue with the same policy this year. It's not a specific year. We have a very good structural capacity in the group. And about the second part of your question, when I was talking about the risk of turbulence included the changes in channels in Colombia over the past few years, we've had had a significant presence of Justo y Bueno, Ara, De Uno, and others. But we see these actors, respectfully, they are important actors. Our presence there, we sell all, not all the references, though, because in some of them, their brand policy doesn't allow it. But we have significant sales through these channels. There is no official measurement about share, because one of the characteristics of the channel is that they do not allow that directly. It's not only usually either, because when you look at other channels such as institutionals, industrial cattle sales, vending sales, none of those is measured through Nielsen officially, but they're measured indirectly. The other, what we've done through public analysis is that these actors have assuming a position initially through expansion and greater coverage, and they're gaining between 7 and 10% of the total mass consumption market in Colombia, very much supported on categories of personal care, home care, lifestyles, and in some cool cuts. There are some categories where they are less active. We see them respectfully. We are not enemies, We want to be the best suppliers of for all channels, but should we not be able to have our products there, usually in Colombia there's more than 250,000 small stores, and there are many stores that share geographic coverage, and we have programs to develop other channels that allow us to reach the consumer there. In summary, they're important actors. We respect them. We sell in many of them. Where we have significant positions, we try to grow, and due to our internal policy, we do not do any private brands for any commercial business when we already have positions for our brands in the regions where they're acting. And what we want to do is do some things that will be stabilized, and there will come a time when we define the share, and we will continue to look for every way to reach the consumer with a multi-channel perspective. Thank you. Thank you. We have no further questions right now. Thank you very much. Continue with three additional questions that we have through the webcast chat feature. From Mercury, are you satisfied with the rate in all countries and all divisions? What can you do to increase our ROI and impact? What is your basic rate when you decide? I would also like to talk about the channel. We believe that we have a proper portfolio of returns. The curve of the businesses in the group, some are more mature and some are acquisitions. In previous conferences, we tell you how the impact that recent acquisitions have is close to 200 base points of the ROI for the entire group. But those acquisitions will enable us to have a growth slope so that we can achieve the objectives we have set ourselves, which are very aggressive in terms of returns if we take into account our starting point. It's a matter of portfolio and has an important share in the acquisitions that we made. With respect to the techniques for the returns, we at least should, we've set 13% in 2020, but there is an overall goal, which is to exceed the capital cost, but we want to at least reach a cost of capital. So for that math to give the right results, the new projects, organic projects especially, must have returns which are even higher than the goal we have for the entire group, so that the entire average can be consolidated. So we won't give you a specific figure, but you can push your numbers. Okay? Returns equal or higher than the goals that we have for the long term, so that those organic plus the growth slope of the acquisitions allow us to reach our goals. Thank you, Jose Domingo. And the last question is by Sebastian Mejia from Sergio Arboleda University. What is the composition of this leverage, and how do you intend to manage that in the medium term? As I also said earlier, this is a variable structure. Mostly 75-80% of our debt is ITPF and IPC. It's 3.3 years. It's more concentrated in the medium rather than the long or the short terms. The structure mainly is in corporate debt. We also have in the capital market some bonds in Colombia and Peru, which are close to 50% of the total debt. And I give you this measurement to say that in the future we have a very similar structure that we have right now, because the flexibility, we can adapt them very quickly to the new market conditions. It's a very variable structure that is very much adapted to the cash flows in the future, with very good conditions of flexibility that will allow us to adapt. I would be working with based on what we have right now. Thank you, Jose Domingo. This concludes the teleconference for results of the third quarter for 2017. Thank you, everyone, for your participation, for your questions, and your interest in Grupo Nutresa. And I'll remind you that the contact line with the investor relations and division is available to you at all times. Have a very nice day and happy week. Thank you very much. Thank you for your participation, and you can disconnect now.